Welcome you in the name of the Lord. How many is enjoying this nice weather we've had this past week? I know I sure have. Thankful for it. Thankful for that you could be with us this morning. You could join us. Those that are traveling a little bit, maybe hopefully they're joining us on the app, on the live stream, if you will. We'll welcome you in the name of the Lord. This morning we're going to start down a path a little bit different, so to speak. But I almost started it last week, but I felt led to teach on what we did last week. And so we're kind of going to go into a little three-part teaching, if you will. And it's going to be in line with something. Some of you folks have heard me share this vision before, but I've never taught on it, so to speak. And that's what kind of I'm impressed to do, is I'm going to share it. And like I said, some of you have heard this before, and you'll be very familiar with it. But we're going to break it down, because it was a three-part vision I received, and we're going to break it down. We're going to teach on one part of it this Sunday, then the second part of it next Sunday, and then the third part, obviously, 3 weeks from now, Lord willing. And it's about where we are, where we're going, and why. And so, you know, as Pastor Walker's preaching beyond the prompt, if you will, how many of you know that it you really don't have to be a Christian very long at all. You don't have to really have much discernment at all when it comes spiritually to know that something ain't right in the world. Amen. This is not sustainable. This is not normal. Things seem to be kind of just teetering, if you will, in a lot of ways. The church will always triumph. The church will always overcome. It's not what we're talking about, but it's just, to me, it's very obvious that we're living in the last days. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're there, okay? I truly believe that we are seeing things, and a lot of times, you know, we don't really know how things are happening in the present time that's setting something up until it happens. You know, hindsight's always 20/20, but I personally truly believe that whether you like it or not, or like him or not, however you want to say it, there was a reason Trump did not win the 2020 election, okay? I truly believe that. Whether it was attained through false pretenses or what, that's not what I want to talk about. There's a reason he didn't serve between 2020 and 2024, that he got back in 2024. The Bible says that God raises up kings and he takes them down. Okay, had he won in 2020, then guess what? He couldn't run in 2024. Had he won in 2020, then guess what? You don't have the hindsight or the wisdom of stepping back for 4 years going, if I had it to do over again, I'd do it this way. I'd do this first, I'd do that, I'd do this, I'd do that. Time and wisdom come into play there. I believe he was granted 4 years of time and wisdom, if that makes any sense to you, in a way. I believe that every single thing that happens, God is in control of it. I truly do believe that. But now, I believe Trump is probably doing things that we don't know as of right now that's setting up things that are going to increase in the last days. I just believe that, Pearl. I truly do. But today we're going to talk a little bit about where we're at right now. As Pastor's preaching on Beyond the Prompt, if you will, we're going to talk a little bit about technology, about knowledge and things of that nature. But first of all, I want to share the vision. And if you've not heard this will be new to you. If you have heard it, bear with me, okay? You'll hear it again. But I can't tell you that I have received a lot of visions in my life. I can't tell you that I have received a whole lot of spiritual dreams, although I have some. But this right here was a vision. This was not a dream. It was 100% a vision. It is something that I will absolutely, to the day I'm no longer on this earth, will absolutely share with people and will unwaveringly tell you that I know it's from God. I just, if you know, you know. And it's just one of those things. But Tara and I, several years ago, like I said, I've shared it before here. Some of you have heard this. Several years ago, we were on vacation. As a matter of fact, I can tell you when it was. It was in 2017, because we had just bought our house up here. But in 2017, probably July of that year, 2017, we were getting ready to come back from vacation. The night before you leave to come back home was when it was, to be exact. And so that one specific night, if you've been on vacation with Teddy, or been around Teddy on vacation, when it comes time to come home, I come back pretty early. I try to miss the crowds. You're one of those people that likes to stay and watch the sun come up at the beach one more time and then eat breakfast and take your time getting out the door. You're probably walking back to West Virginia if you rode with me, because I ain't doing that. You had 6 days to do all that, and you choose today to want to just reminisce. I'm sorry. You better Uber a ride if you're riding back with me. That being said, Tara was taking a shower, and I had just laid down, and I had not fallen asleep, and I received this from the Lord. And when I did receive it, I want you to know this, I didn't understand it, and I had to pray. And I prayed for 3 or 4 days, fasted and prayed for 3 or 4 days for the Lord to reveal it to me, okay? He revealed me what it meant. And so I'm going to share that with you today, because it leads into what we want to talk about for the first part of it. Just the first part of the vision we'll talk about today, but I'm going to share the whole vision with you, okay? But what it was initially, I found myself with the Lord. I never saw Jesus, but I knew he was with me. I never looked at his face, but I knew he was with me. And it was as if he was showing me things, Bubby, on this three-part. And it wasn't until after this was over that I absolutely was able to understand a little bit more about what John said. He said, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And that's sort of what it felt like. It was immediately I went from one scene to another scene to another scene as the Lord was unraveling it for me and showing me. But the first part is I found myself coming onto what I thought was a city. It was dark. It was at night. But what I noticed was what I thought was the city. It looked like a city to me. And it was very bright. And the easiest way to explain it to you is I was coming up on the city, and it to me at the time, the best words I can use to explain it to you is the roads in and out of a city, the four lanes and the beltways and all those things. And excuse me, where it was nighttime, traffic looked like pulses of light going in and out of the city. And I remember being confused and going, Lord, what's this mean? And the Lord, without telling me, allowed me to understand it. He didn't have to speak the words. It was as if as soon as I asked it or thought it, I knew it. He gave it to me. And I sort of think when we get to heaven, that's how it's going to be like. You want to know the truth. We ain't going to have to sit down and ask the question. It's when it comes to our mind, Pearl, then we're going to have the answer. We'll have an understanding that's deeper than what we got now. But in this, he told me. And I knew immediately that we was talking about technology. I knew it immediately we was talking about technology. What was created for good will then be used for evil. And I knew it was about technology, okay? But the brightness of the city was a different brightness, if you will. And at the time, I only just called it a city because it was the only thing I could draw a comparison to. Now, I can tell you now that I do question whether it was a city, because looking at images that I see of data centers, it does seem to look more like that than it did a city. That being said, that was the first part of it. What was created for good will also be used for evil. And I knew it was technology-based, okay? Then immediately I was in the Spirit at another scene, at another vision. And if you guys have ever drove a stretch of highway, stretch of four lane on I-77, it's the closest I can explain it to you. between around Bland, Virginia. Matter of fact, if you ever come back from Myrtle Beach or down that way, how the openness of the with the mountains, and it looks like the mountains are just straight across, like God took his finger and drawed the mountains straight, like a, you know, like that, the tops of the mountains. It was in that, it was an area very similar to that, in a four lane. And all the traffic was being diverted to an off-ramp. So there wasn't nobody that was going to be able to go past that off-ramp. Military-like machines and men were preventing that. They looked like people that would be in National Guard trucks, if you want to know the truth. And each individual car was having to pull around and be inspected, and then they were allowed to go on. Then they'd get back on the on-ramp and continue on, and it was doing it both ways, north and southbound lanes. And I was there at the inspection point, and knowing that I didn't know what I was witnessing again, my question inevitably becomes, Lord, what is this? What does this mean? And then I understood again, it was persecution. 100% persecution. They was looking for something that tied into Christianity, whether it be a Bible or whatever, but it was, they were being persecuted. Because I actually felt their fear. It was the first time I felt the emotion in this vision. I felt their fear. And I witnessed one vehicle get out of line and take off down a little country road, and they followed him. The military followed him and caught up with him and stopped him. And I knew it, what it was. It was immediately. And I knew it was persecution. I knew it was persecution that was coming to God's people, to the church, to those that call Jesus Lord. And then finally, as the third part, I was immediately into another part of the vision. And this vision seemed to be the nicest of them all, initially. There was this old woman, very, very grandmotherly figure, beautiful elderly lady, and she had a glow about her. Her hair was white, very pure, very simplistic, very, very nice and genuine looking elderly lady. And she had a long dress, Ray, down to her ankles, and she just looked kind and nice. And she had with her a little wicker basket. She was holding a little wicker basket. And within that wicker basket, I noticed that people were just so excited and giddy. And they would come around this elderly lady, and she would reach into that wicker basket, and she'd give that to them. And they would grab that little whatever, and they would run away, and they would, like they was gobbling it up. And then after they got done, they went back for more. And it just looked like a grandmother handing cookies to her grandchildren is what it looked like. It was the feeling I got. Nothing bad whatsoever, but that was the feeling. But then, when I said, Lord, what's this mean? I immediately knew, because I noticed that it wasn't children she was giving the treats to. It was grown-ups, adults that were acting like children when they received what she gave them. And that's when I immediately understood something wasn't right. And for the first time of the three-part vision, this is the only time this happened, I was recognized by someone there. No one saw me in the first thing. I was there, but as if I was invisible. Same with the second. The third one, she looked at me, because she knew that I knew. And I immediately said to myself, Lord, if I'm going to do battle, let's do it. And I felt the Holy Spirit begin to come upon me in this vision, and I got bold and ready to do spiritual warfare. But I heard the small, still voice of my Lord say, no, not yet. And you ready for this? Here's the good thing about it is, she didn't react to my words. She reacted to his words. As soon as he said, no, not yet, she just, her guard went back down, and she went to just doing her kind little thing. Okay? And I struggled with that for 3 or 4 days, and praying and fasting and doing all these things. And the first was about technology. The second one was about persecution. And the third one was the one that trumped me. The one that really I struggled with. And then the Lord finally gave me the revelation. When one generation passes to the next, one of two things is going to happen. For some people, they're going to dance in the street with all their might like David as they shed tradition that has held them back. But for the vast majority, false doctrine will invade the pulpits. What she was giving was not of God. She was handing out false doctrine. The adults and the people were gobbling it up, unaware what she was given, only felt that it was good. That was the three-part vision. I'm not going to talk about the second or the third today, but I felt it was important to share that with you to let you know that's where we're going the next couple weeks. But today, we're going to talk about the first part. And the first part, when if you remember, as I just shared with, is technological based. Pastor's preaching on beyond the prompt. And so we're going to get into that, if you will. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read one verse. And with this verse is kind of what we're going to talk about today. Where are we, Amber? I'll be honest with you, I think you're going to like this one a lot today. Because as I was preparing it, I laughed a lot as I was doing this. Because we're going to get a chance to go down memory lane a little bit for some of us. Okay? But it says this in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Daniel, about the end of days, and the Lord revealing things to Daniel, says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." You can be seated. So in other words, in the end times, you get toward the end, so to speak. What is one indicator that we're going to know that we're toward the end? Knowledge shall increase. People are going to run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now, before we go into any further than that, can I get an amen and that's where we're at today? Everybody's going back and forth, running around like a chicken with her head cut off, running to and fro, getting nothing done in some cases, and knowledge has definitely increased. Without a shadow of a doubt, I've always said this, it's always amazed me. 1903, me and my wife are celebrating our 29th anniversary today. Thank God for that. But we've been together since 1993. Started dating in 1993, went on vacation with her and her family. One time we went on vacation with a Nag's Head. Had a good time, I remember it. Went to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Devil Hills and all those things. But it was at Kitty Hawk that is really kind of the reason I bring this up is in 1903, two brothers from Ohio, or as I usually say, Ohio. Start talking like Matt Sanders now, ain't I? Ohio. But anyway, Wilbur and Orville Wright done something amazing in 1903. They flew an airplane for the first time. For the first time in human history, man conquered flight. 1903. Amazing. So from Adam and Eve to Wilbur and Orville, nobody had conquered flight. Technology had eluded them from then till 1903. That's a long stretch of history. There have been a lot of smart people come before and go. Galileo, Einstein, all those people, and they never conquered flight. But in 1903, they did. But what is amazing, Teresa, how knowledge increases. In 1903, we flew for the first time. In 1969, we landed on the moon. That's amazing. 60-some years, we go from only walking, driving, if you will. Automobiles were in their infancies. Horses, buggies, to landing on the moon. Think about that. That's amazing. So knowledge absolutely had to increase in a dramatic way. And that gets us to what Daniel was talking about. The word increased, it means literally be in abundance and to be in authority. Be in abundance and be in authority. So knowledge shall be in abundance and bring authority. Okay, brother, what does that mean? Have you ever heard this term? Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. To be in abundance, to be in authority. Knowledge brings power. How do I know this? How many people have seen the nice space program they have in Zimbabwe? You don't, because they have none. But the United States does. Who's the power? Zimbabwe or the United States? Is our economy stronger than a third world country? Absolutely. One of the reasons, we have technology. We have satellites orbiting the earth. Most people that walked in here today came in here with something in their purse or pocket that in 1989 was unfathomable. That is a phone. True, ain't it? Growing up, we had one, if you had one in the house. We've talked about this in groups before. And I don't mean to sound old, some of you Gen X millennials, but I am sounding old today. After climbing that hill in Wayne County yesterday, my knees told me I was old last night. And then my back tells me that this morning. But that being said, I remember a time, Tammy, where not everybody had a telephone in their house. And let's just say Brother Joe didn't, and I did. Joe would give them my phone number to contact. And Joe lived three doors down. And at Greenville, this is what happened. Yeah, hold on. On the front porch. Hey, Joe! You got a call! Remember that? That happened. That's true. That really happened. Then most people got at least one phone. But you had the phone that hung on the wall in the kitchen with a long cord. Oh, or the party line. Thank you, Joe. There you go. And the one cord that evidently, God bless their parents' hearts, or mine at least, when that cord got so long and twisted and out of fray, and you can't untwist it enough to fix it. Y'all remember doing that with a receiver up like this? But evidently, phone cords were so expensive back then, we couldn't buy a new one. They lasted longer, I agree. But you can only stretch something so long until it won't retain its shape. It was in knots and this, that, and another. But that's what I had growing up. But now we all came here today with a cell phone. If you need to contact someone, you can do so. I don't even have to talk to you on the phone. I don't have to do it. I can send you a text. I can FaceTime you. That's amazing. Knowledge has increased. I actually grew up in a time period where we didn't have GPS. A great thing for a teenager. Parents couldn't locate me. I ain't lying. Ain't no proof, ain't no evidence that I did that. Other than somebody's word that you could, Lindsay, vehemently deny that it ever happened. Who told you that, Dad? He's lying. Kind of forced the issue. Who am I going to believe? Most time they weren't believing me if it was certain things, but I ain't going to lie. I digress. No. I had my bad moments. Let's just say, let's go on. I was so ornery. Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. But technology has changed a lot. I remember television sets, for example, that if you needed to move it from this wall to that wall, you had to go under the house and pull the line over to here, drill a new hole, and come up through the floor, get 17 men to help move the TV because it was that heavy. And when the TV finally died after you fixed it 14,000 times, then they didn't get rid of that said TV. They put the new one on top of it as a piece of furniture because it was way easier than moving that thing out the door. You remember that? Yes, absolutely. There was no remote control. You were the remote control. Yes, absolutely. And the sound of a TV turning was this.
Chunk, 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 chunk.
That was what it sounded like to change the channels, Brother Jack. There you go. I remember as a kid, I was getting up a little bit older and asking Santa Claus for a television set. It was a big ask. I got a 13-inch black and white. Didn't even know they still made black and white, but they did. And I had it for a month. And my aunt and uncle's TV went out, and I lost my TV to my aunt and uncle. And I never got it back. But that is just an example. People would come, families would gather around for a television show on a Tuesday night or whatever, because that was the show they watched as a family. And you ready for this? They laughed. Kind of a novel idea. Now we got no things that make you laugh on TV. We got reality shows. You know what? I'd like to escape reality sometimes. But yet that's where we live in. Knowledge has increased. The United States is fighting a war right now in Iran, and there's not one pair of boots on the soil. We're doing it through missiles and doing it through jets and stealth bombers and things of that nature. That's technology that has made that possible. Knowledge shall increase. That's what the Bible said. That's what Daniel said. So as we've talked about this morning, it's easy to see, without even recognizing it, man, Daniel knew what he was talking about, didn't he? Just in our lifetime. Now, look how much more it's starting to accelerate since computers have come along. Google. I remember when Google came along, that was a great thing. That done away with encyclopedias. I bet most people of a certain age don't even know what the Dewey Decimal System is. You probably don't, and I understand that. I can appreciate that because you have no need for it. You can Google it. You can read whatever you want, Vicki, online. Do your research online. Didn't have to go to somebody's house, the only set of encyclopedias in Greenville that belonged to somebody, and borrow the ILM to do your school report. Heaven forbid if somebody beat you to it. You got luck. But now we don't have that. But now we've got a step further from Google to Chat GPT and AI. We're entering a new realm. So, Teresa, absolutely, knowledge has and is increasing. I read, Pastor Walker preached a sermon, it was a little while back. And he's talking about knowledge increasing, and I don't know if it was how long was it, Joe? Every 2 years or something like that, it doubles? Something like that, it had got to where it was every 2 years. The last thing I read, knowledge is doubling every 12 hours now. 12 hours. They're discovering a better way to do it every 12 hours. So Daniel knew what he was talking about, didn't he? The vision that the Lord gave me, that what was meant for good will be used for evil. That's where we're at today. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is authority. How do I know this? Knowledge is also intoxicating. Knowledge is intoxicating. Meaning, if you can find something out, you want to know it. It really don't necessarily have anything to do with being nosy. Just a simple fact. If Joe's been struggling with something, for example, and don't have an answer to it, and he comes and shares it with me, and I say, well, I know how to fix that, Joe. I've done that last week. Would you like to know? Yeah, man. Good luck. And I walk away. I don't tell him. Well, Joe's going to be going, man, I really need to know what that is. This is really giving me fits. Knowledge is power. People will do odd things to gain it. They'll pay absurd amounts of money for a piece of paper that says Harvard University. Duke University, Yale, Columbia. Knowledge is power. How do I know knowledge is power? How many people remember the serpent and Eve in the garden? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. It can make me wise. There was a thirst for knowledge, even though God had told him not to do it. Her curiosity, her temptation, her giving heed to the devil led directly to her disobedience. Can I tell you something about that, folks? If you'll give heed to the devil, he'll lead you astray too. We blame Eve a lot, and I understand that. How many of us are guilty too? Temptation comes and we don't immediately just go, get behind me, Satan. I'm not going there. Pull this scripture up, cast that thought. Take a captive in the name of Jesus. We don't do it either. So before you start throwing a rotten apple at Eve, realize we've done the same thing before. But knowledge was something she desired to make her wise. It was something she didn't have. He twisted God's word. The adversary did. You'll not. He questioned God's word. Think about that. Think about the pride to question God's word. Think about that. You'll not surely die. He's directly contradicting the word of God that God told him. He's questioning. He's bringing the question to her mind. Well, maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe God's lying. That's what he, in essence, done. He made her pick between the word that she wanted. Not the word that was best for her, the word that she wanted, because she desired for it to make her wise. It looked good to the eyes. It gave me something. It was something I wanted. God's telling some of you to stay away from stuff. It's pleasant to the eyes, but I'd really like to have it, Lord. He said, no, back away, back away. And you're staying close to the tree. That's for somebody. It's time you back away from the tree when God speaks. Don't give heed to the devil. Knowledge is increasing, absolutely, but temptation is going to come through it as well. What was created for good, we get my son a telephone. First time when he gets to go to sixth grade is when Jake, all three of mine got in sixth grade. Do you want to know the truth? Was it because I felt they needed one? No, because it's easier on me. Being honest with you. They play football. They start playing football in sixth grade, so guess what? I didn't want to have to sit in my vehicle down here while they come back from Sherman or George Washington and wait in my car late at night, so it became easier for them to call me when you're at the New Road, as we call it. What are we? A decade in and we still call it the New Road, don't we? Call me when you hit the New Road, and I'll drive over. I'll be there, pick you up. But we give those things, okay? It makes our lives easier, Joe. There's going to be times in your life that technology is an advantage. It is. But with that comes also a possibility that the devil can use it against you. You can now look up anything you want to find out any information you want. You want to find out what a car payment's going to cost, you can pull that up and say, if I put this much down at this tax rate and at that interest rate, that payment's going to be right there. So that when I go and share that information, or say I want this vehicle and that car salesman starts lying to me, I can call him out on it. And ain't what the numbers say, bud. It's the truth. Knowledge is power, right? But the same information that gave you that also allows people to get on sites they shouldn't be on. It allows children to surf the net and do things they shouldn't be doing. What was created for good will be used for evil. Daniel knew what he was talking about, didn't he? He was going to go to and fro. So in other words, they're going to be hectic to get in more information. I know some people that every time the new phone comes out, they got to have it. My phone's falling apart. Matter of fact, I'm literally saying that it's falling apart. But it still works. And I don't want to buy a new one because I don't have to pay for it. That's how I feel. You ain't like that, that's fine. If you want the new phone, that's fine. That's up to you. You're the one thing I pay the bill. I don't. But there are some people that they run to and fro. The newest TV come out, I got to get it. You know what's sitting in my television? You know what's sitting in my bedroom? A 32-inch. That's passed through I don't know how many people. I just don't watch much TV in my bedroom. Ain't no need for me to ride out and get a new one. Hey, if you've got a nice one, good for you. I'm not against that. But I'm just saying, we have some people that are like that. Daniel knew what he's talking about. They're going to and fro, to and fro. Hectic, hectic, hectic. Increased thirst for knowledge. Give me the latest, give me the best. Amen? Never satisfied. Vehicles when I was growing up. You know how you rode the window down? And if you got in your uncle's vehicle and it wasn't very smooth, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Had a speedometer, 3-speed on a column. That was a vehicle made from real American steel. Had a 1979 Ford F-100 one time. Hit a dolly washer of a rainstorm on top of Horse Pen Mountain. Come back from work. Couldn't keep up with it, but to be honest with you, Lindsay, the blade wasn't smashed against the windshield enough. So in the middle of a driving rainstorm, I climbed on top of my hood. Grown man, 265 pounds on top of a hood, and bent my metal wiper arm where it worked. You climb onto a truck right now, you're going to have a lot of damage that you're going to have to go pay and get it fixed. Because it ain't made of steel, it's made of plastic. In 1989, a Chevy Silverado cost $11,000. Now it's $70,000. Technology, computer screens, galore. There is more, everyone in here that drove in here today, I dare say, there's more computers in your car that you drove in here today than is in the Apollo that landed on the moon. It's the truth. Knowledge has increased. Just like Daniel said, just as the vision the Lord gave me verified, God's never going to go against his word. Amen? But now that we know that, what's the importance? Why did Daniel tell us that? Did he tell us that to scare us? No. Did the Holy Spirit unction Daniel to write that down to create fear and anxiety in us? No. He did it to prepare us. So that when we look around and we see all these things, we can recognize, hey, I can use this for good. But I also got to be aware of the enemy when he tries to come against me using the same thing. And I also realize the time I'm living in and realize, you know what? Jesus is coming back soon. We better be ready. We better be prepared. We better have our relationship with him as our priority in our lives. It ain't about walking in fear. You ready for this? Tara and I have been married for 29 years. If Tara would walk in here right now, and I could do this suddenly, she's going to turn her head because I've never hit her before. You don't mistreat someone you love. She has no fear of me doing that, Vicki, because I've never treated her that way. She has no reason to believe that I'm going to do that. Guess what? The Lord is allowing the church to know not to create fear in us or anxiety. It's for us to be ready. Draw closer to him. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. You understand? AI now is the big thing, right? Many of you folks may not realize this because this guy that just graduated college with his associate degree in May and woefully behind on technology, God bless you, woefully behind in technology, wasn't for my children and my wife, I could not have done it. I am not good online stuff like a lot of people are. I didn't even know, Hunter, what ChatGPT was. They had to show me that in the last year. No, that's probably the last 9 months. Ain't been a year. Then I realized, well, that's good. That's really helpful. That's some good information. It's like Google on steroids, so to speak. But, that being said, what we're seeing now, me and Pearl had a conversation one time, and she shared it with me, how it helped her. And you're like, wow, this really speeds things up. This is good. And it can be good. But it can also be used by the adversary for evil as well. AI literally gives you right now, here's what it touts. They can hold longer, more coherent conversations. Now they can write essays, reports, code, and creative content. They can summarize complete documents. AI no longer limited to text. Many systems now understand images, analyze charts, documents, generate images from descriptions, and process audio and speech. That's right now. They can also follow complex instructions, break problems into steps, solving mathematical and logical tasks as well. AI generates codes in many programming languages. It finds bugs in computer processing, helps design software, and assists with testing and documentation. Also, AI predicts protein structures, analyzes medical images, accelerates drugs discovery, and processes large scientific databases. Now, in robotics, they navigate environments, recognize objects, and manipulate physical items. It means they're moving things. AI systems are incredibly able to search engines, calendars, software applications, perform multitask, and remember context within a conversation. AI, that's a computer, that's not a person, can do those things. A plausible 2036 scenario is this. 10 years, that most people will have an AI assistant at their fingertips. An AI assistant that will set up calendars for you, make appointments for you, do banking for you. Within 10 years, you'll have it at your fingerprint. Now, here's how that's going to happen. They're going to charge you for it. It'll be an app. It ain't going to be free. I ain't never seen a business give anything for free. AI enhanced healthcare monitoring. Tutors for education and skill development. Access to AI agents that can complete complex digital tasks autonomously. And powered services embedded throughout transportation, work, entertainment, and government systems. The world is moving to that. Knowledge is increasing. You understand that? We must be ready. Jesus is coming soon. It's not to scare us. It's not to hide under a rock. It's so that we get busy, Ray. Going out to the highways and byways and compelling them to come in. That's what it's all about. The vision said it. Matthew 24, 14 says this. And here's the whole gist of it. Why we should pay attention. Why we should get to work. Why we should be laborers for the harvest. Because Matthew 24, 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then shall the end come." The only way you're going to preach it to all nations is with technology. That's a good thing. But the devil can also use it for a bad thing. Let us be aware of that. Where are we at now? Where are we going? Let us be aware. Let us get in God's word. Let us know the scripture. Let us be in prayer. Let us be in relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us fall in love with him, knowing that he's not going to do anything to hurt the church. And ready for this? Regardless of what may come, the church wins. I've read the end of the book. We come out in the end, Pearl. I can't wait. I can't wait to see him come back one day. Amen? We're going to start our little transfer to prayer. Prayer matters here. I have someone going to come on up here right now. She don't care. And she's going to take up prayer requests. She's got something on her heart. She's going to do so. Ask her this week to do it. Miss Nicole Van Ost. Van Elst.
Hello. It's good to be here with everybody today. Before we take our prayer request, I would like